Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, St. John's Gospel certainly follows the events of our Lord's life and ministry in chronological order, but not quite in the same way as the other Gospels do. For as you read through the Gospel of St. John, you can pick up a different intent of the blessed apostle, that of communicating more of a theological focus on Jesus, the Savior. While the other Gospels are more of a record of events, John's Gospel tends to be a record that follows in order to teach about who Jesus is and what he has come here into this world specifically to do. For example, the chapter before our text for this morning, John chapter 10, the chapter before would be chapter 9, is the account of the healing of a man who was born blind. The other Gospels do not record this specific event, and John records it in depth. Even the aftermath of the miracle itself is reported. And that leads then to the gospel reading for today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, historically known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, the man born blind was a tragic figure. Never had he once gazed upon the beauty of God's creation. He knew nothing of the splendid appearance of color in all of its shade and its hue. He was truly in a world of utter darkness. And the Jews in Jesus' day assumed sin was involved somehow in this tragic condition. Even Jesus' own disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a strange question. Would God cause a man to be born blind for a sin committed in the womb? For a sin yet to be committed somewhere in the future? Or for the sin of his parents? Now, it is true that there are health conditions passed on to children from their parents, or that result from poor behaviors of parents during pregnancy. None of that is mentioned in the text. And the answer that Jesus gives is so that the glory of God may be revealed. After then, Jesus does the work of healing this man. The man is questioned by the religious authorities. They want to know exactly how he could now see. But could the man really explain it? This great miracle. After all, he could see none of what happened to him in that great miracle. He did not even know the man or what he looked like who had restored his sight. But surely he believed it was a prophet of God who was the healer, the man declared. Well, the religious leaders of the Jews could not handle such an explanation. And eventually, after the man persisted in this belief, they sent him out of the temple, essentially excommunicating him for believing that Jesus was a prophet, and more than that. Well, Jesus later found the man and informed him that he was the one who had healed him. The man then acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and sought to follow after him all his days. John then follows up that account with his writing about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Even though that man was removed from the very people of God, the Lord Jesus still cared for him. The man was now one of his own, one of his precious sheep. And as his sheep, Jesus was certainly his shepherd. And what does the shepherd do for his sheep? He is always on the lookout for them, always on alert for them, to protect them and to provide for them. The enemy for this man who was born blind had been the religious leaders. They were those who entered the sheepfold by another way, as Jesus would teach, and not through Jesus himself as the door. But Jesus says he is the one who enters properly by the door, and he is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, no problem whatsoever. And the sheep hear Jesus' voice, and they know him. And this is certainly true for sheep in the world even today. You can see it too with other animals, perhaps even in your own households. They know the voice of the one who does care for them and look out for them and who do that most. And they do indeed listen, and they come when they are called. Jesus introduced himself then to the man whom he had healed, and that man worshiped Jesus, and he clung to Jesus, for now he knew the shepherd of his own sheep, and he knew Jesus and his voice. The shepherd of the sheep also calls his own sheep by name. That trend of naming animals dates a long way back. And Jesus knows each of his people by their name. They are special to him. They mean something to him. This shows the truly personal connection that Christ has with his people, those for whom he has suffered and died, and those who believe in him. As the one who truly knows them, Jesus then leads his sheep out of the pen in order to guide them in the green pastures and to the still waters. As we have recently celebrated the great event of Easter, our Lord's resurrection, we know all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. He has paid the full price for all of our sin with his own death upon the cross. He has laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus then has also risen up from the dead, showing his eternal victory over death and sin, and over all that can harm us as his sheep. As his people then, Jesus leads us out into the world around us. For the church is our sheep pen. Here we find safety and solace from the harsh world around us. But back into that world, Christ leads us. From this place, then, Christ our Lord sends you back to your homes and to your vocations. You are called upon by Christ the Good Shepherd to care for your families, to be as Christ in all of your ventures, your workings, to show his kindness, his mercy, his love and compassion to all who are around you. For Christ himself goes before us, and we follow him. We know how he cared for others, how he healed those who were in need, and fed those who were hungry. We, the sheep, then follow the Good Shepherd, knowing that he will not lead us away from himself ever, but he always goes with us wherever we go. Jesus then takes his hearers, those listening, the religious leaders, back to the idea of the stranger in the midst of the sheep. There are certainly those who try to steal away the sheep of Christ or entice them away from him. But the sheep who know the very voice of Jesus, who know who he truly is, what he does, what he promises to them, would never dare to follow another. All other voices, all other teachings, all other offers are strange to them, for they cannot compare with Jesus. In fact, Jesus says that his true sheep will flee from the stranger.
If that man who was born blind had not been kicked out of the religion, he certainly would have fled away. For once he heard the voice of Jesus, no one else would matter. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Jesus asked him. "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" The blind man replied, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And to that the man replied, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Now, knowing the good shepherd, the man once blind would prefer never to return to darkness or to blindness. As a sheep of the shepherd, he would opt not to follow the stranger, but to always listen to Jesus, to follow after him, knowing his teaching, his work of salvation alone. Naturally, the enemies of the Lord Jesus, those who were the religious leaders in his day, who had no faith or trust in Jesus, had no clue what he was talking about. So Jesus shifted to another aspect of the life of the sheep. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Now here it is quite clear that Jesus is speaking figuratively about his identity. No, he is not a literal plank of wood serving as a door. But some will use this argument in Christianity to go against the words of Jesus in the institution of his supper, where he says, "This is my body, this is my blood. I am the door. This is my body." Different ideas, different contexts, different meanings. Many will try to sway the sheep and do so without the Lord Jesus. They are thieves. They are robbers who avoid the door himself, Jesus says. Thankfully, the sheep still know the good shepherd and they do not listen to the false ones. And as the door, Jesus is also the way of life and salvation. All others who try to steal the sheep, who lie about Jesus and teach falsely against him, are thieves and robbers. They are to be avoided. And that is what our Lord grants us through his word and its teaching. All who are baptized into Christ are trained in his words. And through the questioning as such of this morning of our confirmands, that they will undergo, that all who are part of this church have undergone, we learn the very voice of Jesus and how to avoid the voice of others. For who could offer us more than Jesus? For he has truly said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Christ Jesus has indeed given you that life in baptism, in the words of absolution, and in Holy Communion. That life that Christ has given you is yours in abundance, now and forever. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.